WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. How early is too early to start preparing children for highly selective public schools in Chicago? Well, according to a new WBEZ education and data report, the answer might be 4 years old. That's because at that age, students can take a test to be part of a gifted program. WBEZ's analysis found that students at elementary schools with these programs have the best chance of getting into an elite high school. But some parents say that Chicago public schools did not tell them that this was an option. So I sat down with WBEZ education reporter Sarah Karp to hear the rundown of the long line of barriers that CPS students and families are facing to get into the city's top performing schools.
So in Chicago, we have elementary selective enrollment schools, which are gifted or classical schools. Those are schools that you have to test into. And then we have high schools. We have 11 high schools that you have to test into. And then also your grades are looked at in order to get in. And so a lot of people know about our selective enrollment high schools. They include places like Whitney Young, Northside Prep, Peyton. They are among the best schools, not just in the city, but also ranked, you know, the highest in the state and even the nation.
Okay. And of course, we know Chicago's in the middle of a heated debate around the system of school choice. Right, Sarah?
Right. And these are considered schools of choice. So, you know, in sort of the bigger sense, schools of choice are those that are not your neighborhood schools,
which
that
is
you
what
can
the mayor
choose to go to.
And the mayor wants to prioritize those again.
Neighborhood schools, right. Exactly.
So in your recent reporting, which people can go online at WBEZ.org and find, you write that in order to begin the path at a selective enrollment school, families have to start early. So way earlier than a lot of people are thinking about in their kids' high school years. 4 years old. Why that early?
Well, here's the thing. In order to get into a gifted or classical school, you have to, a child has to be tested. And that would be 9 months, like in the fall before they go to, before admission. So before kindergarten is when the largest number of seats are open. And so, you know, it's somewhat that CPS doesn't really like tell parents, but it's also the fact that like, you know, when your child's 4 years old and in the midst of preschool, not everybody is thinking about like, oh, where is he going to go to kindergarten? And maybe, you know, they don't really start focusing on that until the spring.
Right.
You know, when they
say, you're certainly not thinking about how that connects to what high school he might get into.
Right. And the thing is that there's a direct connection that if you get into one of these selective enrollment elementary schools, you have a much better chance of getting into a selective enrollment high school. However, there are some elementary schools that are neighborhood elementary schools that they do get kids in. So it's not like a lost cause. But here's the thing. If you are a child that is going to a school where the vast majority of kids are low income, and there's a wide variety of ability levels in this type of neighborhood school, the chances of you having the type of advanced classwork that you will need in order to test into the best of these schools is very, very low. I mean, I found that like at schools that are more than 90% Black and more than 90% low income, only 1% of the kids at these elementary schools over the last 3 years got into one of the better high schools.
Wow.
So it's very low.
So these young kids, they're taking a test that you report most families don't even know exists. What's been the reaction from them when you spoke with them?
So, you know, one father told me, he's just like, I, you know, he just didn't know. And he actually has had his child like subsequently tested for gifted programs. But, you know, once you miss that kindergarten incoming year, you're hoping that basically it's a student leaves to open up a spot. So the most number of seats are going to be at incoming grades. So he hasn't yet, you know, maneuvered his son into a selective enrollment elementary school. And now he's starting to think that the child's already in seventh grade. He's starting to think about, well, what's going to happen in high school? So, but you know, I actually did have my kids tested, right?
Yeah.
So, and some of this happens because people send their kids to elementary schools, I mean, to preschools, and there's certain preschools, they will let parents know, like, hey, you know, like private preschools, they'll let parents know, you know, you got to get your kid tested and you got to sign up, you know, in the fall before they go. And I know that parents have this weird experience where their little child goes away with a stranger and then comes back and you say to them, what did they ask you? And the child says, my name. they it's very hard to figure out.
They have no idea what's going on.
They don't know. Well, and, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah. And a parent that you spoke to, I guess, had maybe a similar experience to you, Melissa DeLeon, she was able to test her child. What was their experience like?
When the little boy came out, he was like more interested in having his juice than he was, you know, to explain
what
happened.
Sounds like a 4-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they don't know. And I mean, even then, too, so as I said, there's two types of selective enrollment elementary schools. One is called the classical school, one is called the gifted school. In classical schools, they're testing knowledge, like can you read, can you recognize numbers? And in gifted schools, they're testing logic and critical thinking skills. I'm not exactly sure how you test a 4-year-old's critical thinking skills, right. But, you know, I would, you know, bet that it would be hard for a 4-year-old to explain to you how his critical thinking skills were tested.
Yeah. Wow. And you've got an interesting tool in the middle of one of your articles on this topic, Sarah, where readers can actually search for their child's elementary school, and then they can actually find out the percentage of kids that have been admitted from that school to a selective high school.
And I'll tell you, I put that there because of one thing. In the past, I've done articles where I've talked about, you know, the phenomenon of which elementary schools get their kids into which high schools. And always I get calls from parents saying, what about my school? How many kids is my? You know, people, they want to game the system. They really want their kids to get into these selective enrollment high schools, and they want to know which elementary schools they should be steering their kids to. So there is a certain group of parents that really knows this.
And most families, as you report, they're not able to start this particular educational journey at 4 years old, right?
Right.
What chance do they have later on?
So, I mean, that's the thing. As they get older, I mean, it's very hard to tell exactly like what chance, because once you miss that kindergarten enrollment, and there's actually one selective enrollment elementary school that their entry point is first grade. But once you miss that incoming grade to test for, then you're just trying to get that one kid that leaves third grade, and then your child, you know, is testing for third grade, and then your child could maybe jump into that spot if they happen to be, you know, the highest tester.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's very hard to like pass that incoming grade to really know what are their chances. You know, if there is a gifted or classical program where a lot of kids leave, then maybe your child has a better chance. I don't know.
Sarah, I want to go back to something you alluded to earlier, right? You focus some of your reporting specifically on marginalized students. Talk to us about who exactly CPS defines as marginalized, and get into some of the stats that you break down when it comes to like Black and Latino students, for instance.
Right. So basically, you know, what we're talking about is the kids that are winding up in the most racially isolated schools and the most low income schools. And, you know, in these schools, you know, many of them are good schools where they're trying hard, but they have a big range of ability levels. And it's very hard for those kids to get into a selective enrollment high school. Let me just you know, give one thing. Like very recently, Chicago Public Schools has really pushed algebra into elementary schools, so that now I think they said something like 60 to 80% of elementary schools have offer algebra for eighth graders. Now, on the selective enrollment high school test, it's known that you need to have some algebra in order to do well on that test. But up until just a year ago, only like 20% of all elementary schools were offering algebra.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even just if you think about that, that this one skill that you know is on this test, there's a lot of kids that just aren't getting it. And, you know, to no fault of their own. You know, and the other thing that we have to think about is that every, you know, person who you talk to who's an expert who's looked at this will say that, you know, talent, intelligence, all of this, it does not discriminate. You can find very, very bright kids. And I talk to teachers who say, like, we have very, very bright kids in schools that are very low income, but they're very bright kids. They're just not being put really in the environment where they can, you know, really accelerate and get to the point where they could compete for these top
schools. Get that recognition. Here's a clip I want to play. This is Madison, who's a student who was accepted into Whitney Young. You talk to her, and this is a part where she talks about why she wanted to go to an elite school.
It's because my parents, they wanted to give me, like, a more diverse experience, and they wanted me to go somewhere where I would, like, have, like, I don't want to say a better shot, but, like, more experience and more opportunities and stuff like that.
Tell us more about the resources and diverse experiences that Madison's talking about here.
And you know, this is one of the sort of conundrums about this whole story, because on one hand, people know, and it is true, that the demographics of the top selective enrollment schools in the city, the top five, do not reflect the school districts. So they're way more white and Asian than the number of kids in the school district. However, you know, that's one of the things that a lot of people see as a value, to be able to go to a school that is not just racially, but also socioeconomically diverse. When you go to a school that has some kids that are, you know, middle class, some kids that are upper middle class, there are some advantages, including that their parents can sometimes pay to provide better resources for the schools.
Ah.
And so, you know, you do have some of these schools like Peyton where, you know, the parents are raising upwards of, you know, $500,000 a year some years, and they're paying for extra resources. So if you happen to be a middle class or a low income student that gets a spot at one of these schools, you are, you know, not only are you among high achievers and perhaps being pushed by those high achievers, but you're also in a place that perhaps has extra resources just because of the clientele that are there.
So leave us with this. What is CPS doing to bridge this gap?
Well, they have taken some steps. One thing that in eighth grade, they have universal testing now. So it used to be that you would have that a student in eighth grade who wanted to go to a selective enrollment high school had to, you know, go to a testing center on a Saturday and take the test. Now it happens in the school. So this is only like the second year that's happened, but that's a big, you know, step forward. The question is, can we do that somehow on the elementary school level? Can we do that, you know, maybe instead of having the entry grade for gifted and classical schools being 4 years old, maybe it's first grade and we can test all the kids in kindergarten or something like that. And I do think that the school board is looking at these issues. They, you know, they passed this resolution saying that they want to look at these issues. So this resolution is supposed to lead to a 5-year strategic plan, which is supposed to be out this summer. And so I'm sort of waiting to see what are some of the things that they're proposing.
Yeah. Well, Sarah Karpson, education reporter for WBEZ. Again, you can read her reporting on our website, WBEZ.org. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Nadia Hernandez, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Micah Yasin. Reset brings you the news you need to know and the culture around Chicago that you don't want to miss. You can subscribe to our newsletter to get caught up twice a week. Head over to WBEZ.org/reset to sign up. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.